This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at scifinoise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. All right. So stupid. I'm sorry. I'm driving to work right now. And I got to a four-way stop. There's a guy right across from me. He was sitting there. I pulled up. I stopped. And now he's waiting for me to go. He had the right of way. So, he was making a left. I was going straight, so who cares? Holiday weekend was this past weekend. It was Thanksgiving. So, I got caught up on a bunch of TV. Tried to get caught up on a bunch of TV. I'm still like 3 or 4 episodes behind on Once Upon a Time. And I think the reason that I'm not in any great big hurry to get caught up is because I am not really into this storyline. You know, every now and then they'll come up with a villain who is extremely overpowered. And to me, it's not the struggle or the search for the villain, but it is, how are they going to defeat it? How are they going to defeat this villain? And I tell you right now, I never, ever would have thought that they could have made Peter Pan such a compelling villain. You know, that show really knocked it out of the park with that one. But the villain this time around is the Snow Queen. This is part of their Frozen tie-in. And I realize that Frozen was based on, I think, the legend of the Snow Queen, or the fairy tale, the tale of the Snow Queen from Hans Christian Andersen, I believe. I'm not 100% positive. I only saw Frozen a couple times, which you're probably thinking, well, it's a couple more times than I've seen it, or it's more than I've seen. But when you have small kids, usually know about this kind of stuff. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen Little Mermaid and Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and Lion King. So, hundreds of times. And not just because I was turning on the television just to keep the kid quiet, you know. But if it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a parent, if you find something that they like that will keep them quiet and sitting there, there are times when we abuse that, you know. I will admit, there are times when my daughter was about 3 years old and all she ever wanted to do was see what daddy was doing. And it's just like, oh, child, please. You know, and this is when I was unemployed. So it's just like, Jazz, here, why don't we watch this? And then she's quiet for like 90 minutes, you know. Every now and then she might say she's hungry and I'd make her something to eat. But it was just like, oh, Anyway, so I've only seen Frozen a couple of times. And it's a nice movie. And it's a very successful movie. However, if it wasn't a Disney movie, and pretty much I think, 75 or 80% of all Disney movies pretty much become instant classics. I don't know if this would be considered a classic movie. But they are, because Disney, I think, I'm pretty sure Disney owns ABC. Marvel Comics, Marvel Entertainment, Disney, ABC, they're all, like, interconnected. I'm not sure who owns what, to tell you the truth. Just I'm not. I don't really need to know for purposes of this story. All I know is that Disney is really pushing their Frozen franchise hard to be accepted as a modern fairy tale, you know? Not even a modern fairy tale, but a new fairy tale, which I believe is based on an old fairy tale, like most of their stuff is. So this is about the Snow Queen. It's about there's really two main things going on. There's the search for Anna, the one with the powers. And you know, and I know these names if I've seen them, but the one with the powers is searching for the one without the powers. And every now and then you'll have like the rock trolls or Kristoff or the reindeer. The one with the powers' name is Elsa. There you go. So Elsa is searching for Anna, and in the meantime, there's a bunch of flashbacks to what happened, and, you know, how Anna crossed paths with all the characters in Storybrooke. That's like in the past, and that's one of the storylines. The other one is the Snow Queen has somehow been in Emma, the main hero's life, in the past, and now she's back, and it turns out that she's related to Elsa and Anna somehow, as aunt, I believe. And so they're telling these two stories, and the one with the search for Anna just seems so shoehorned in. And I just don't find the Snow Queen as a good villain. You know, she hasn't really done much evil yet. You know, all of the quote unquote evil that has happened to her so far pretty much has happened because the people of Storybrooke have gone messing with her. Okay. So I know that they want to make her, I guess they want to make her a sympathetic villain, but you don't make somebody a sympathetic villain by making your heroes pretty much the bad guys, because that's what's going on here. You know, every time they keep saying, oh, you know, the Snow Queen is evil, the Snow Queen has done this, and I just keep thinking back to, well, you guys kind of attacked her first, and you went after her first, you know? It's a, I don't know. Maybe I'm just comparing her to Regina and Cora, who are the previous villainous queens, because those two, first off, they had more of a story to go on. And unfortunately for Elizabeth Mitchell, who plays the Snow Queen, they were also able to show a lot more emotion. You know, Elizabeth Mitchell is actually a pretty good actress. Unfortunately, though, they don't really... In the past couple of roles, I've seen her, and they haven't really given her a whole lot, you know? But the little bit she does get, she nails. And unfortunately, in this one, she's a Snow Queen, so she's supposed to pretty much be frozen. She doesn't have a whole lot of emotion. She doesn't show a whole lot of emotion. That's why so far the best part of her story was back before she became so emotionally, maybe not emotionally, just distant, but the way that she is, you know, before when she was laughing with her sisters and when she felt sad because she couldn't be, because she couldn't be part of the big party, that kind of stuff to me was interesting because they gave her something to do. She was able to change her face, you know, not change it like, oh, she's a whole different person, but she was able to show emotion. She was able to emote. She was able to smile. She was able to frown. She was able to look sad. But now the Snow Queen, they might as well, they didn't even really need, they could have made a mask of Elizabeth Mitchell's face and have her wear that when she's a Snow Queen, because that's the emotional range that she's allowed to show. But that's me. I'm, like I said, maybe this has changed in the three episodes I haven't watched yet. But those three episodes, they're still there. I haven't watched them. I did, however, get caught up on Z Nation, which is a zombie show from Sci-Fi Channel. Some people like to refer to it as the other zombie show, because there's Walking Dead, which is on. But these two are totally different shows. The only thing that they both have in common, there are zombies running around. And I don't even think they really call them zombies on The Walking Dead. But I don't watch Walking Dead. A lot of people are still loving the show. Really stupid. There was a mid-season finale. I hate it when they do that. Why don't TV shows just say, hey, we have short seasons. Just say, hey, we have 11 or 12 episodes per season. We just happen to have a lot of seasons. You know, that to me is a lot better than, yeah, we have a mid-season finale. It's like, oh, it's just stupid. It's a season finale. Just go with it. Ugh. Anyway, apparently a character who's been on the show for a while has died. I go into reading an issue of the Walking Dead comic book thinking, well, actually not an issue, I usually get done by trades, but I think to myself, okay, people I like are gonna die, you know. So when they start talking about, oh, this person died or this person died, it's like, oh, okay. People are upset. It's like, wow, it's The Walking Dead. They're going to die. They're all going to die. You know? In fact, if the final episode does not end in everybody dying, then it's just a load of crap. They can do one of two things. They can either find a cure for zombieism or everybody dies. You know? Either way, a lot of people are going to be upset. Anyway, who cares? But Z Nation is all about... it's a little bit more hopeful. Because whenever I watch Walking Dead, oh my God, that show bummed me out so much. You know? Between very little happening except a whole lot of acting. You know? Remember before I was talking about how Elizabeth Mitchell was not allowed to show a wide range of emotions? Yeah, this show, it had a wide range of emotions, from fear to sadness. That was it. Fear, sadness, sadness, fear. And in between, a whole lot of talking and yelling. Duh. But I will say, I haven't watched it since like third or fourth episode of season two, so maybe it's gotten better. I don't know. Don't really care. But the first season of Z Nation is coming to an end, and I finally got caught up. And that one really surprised me, because once again, this is a zombie show, so it conceivably everybody could get killed. Everybody. However, there was a... If you watch the first part of Zombie Nation, there are a few characters on there who seem like they are the main characters. In fact, all right, you know what? Spoilers. From this point going forward, I'm going to spoil Z Nation, and then I'm going to be going into work, so you're not going to miss a whole lot of more talking after. I'm not going to, like, all of a sudden at the very end switch subjects. Like, oh, yeah, and by the way, the new Star Wars trailer, because I haven't seen a Star Wars trailer, so I'm not going to do that. So from now on, you've had ample warning. You can turn it off, start it back up when you've caught up with Z Nation. All right. The beginning of this show, all right, they had Harold Perrineau, who is the angel on Constantine, as well as being Augustus from Oz. Most people know him as Michael from Lost, okay? And he played this this army guy who has to get the last, well, the only person who's known to have survived a zombie bite to California in order for them to make serum from his blood, okay? He is a heroic, well-known actor, and a heroic role for a well-known actor, and he gets killed off in, like, the first or second episode, right? So I'm like, wow, okay, did not see that coming. So then it switches over where it looks like the hero of the show is going to be one of the National Guard's people. One is played by Tom Everett Scott, who was in That Thing You Do, which is a movie, as well as Southland. He played Russ. Or Kalita Smith, who was the only thing I know her from outside of Z Nation, was when she played Bernie Mac's wife on the Bernie Mac show. Okay? So these two National Guardsmen are the only military. They're going to be the new heroes. They're going to take over. They're going to get this guy to where he has to go. And then all of a sudden, Tom Everett Scott gets killed. You know, like 7 or 8 episodes in, and I was like, wow, did not expect that one. I did not. Because I thought it was one of those shows, like, you can skip a few episodes. Nothing big is going to happen, you know? And then I was watching a previously on segment, and within seconds, they kill off Tom Everett Scott. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. Looks like I do need to go back and watch some of these older episodes. All right. So those two die. To me, it's like Rick Grimes on Walking Dead dying. And then in the next few episodes, Rick Grimes dies again. Anyway. I'm at work now. Thank you for listening. And I will be back soon with another episode.